This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Deadlines can be stressful, but for many artistic types and tinkerers and perfectionists and radio producers, they can also be motivational. As in, if you do not have a deadline, you will never know if something is finished. That is part of the idea behind a number of creative community-based challenges that have grown popular over the years. NaNoWriMo, or National Novel Writing Month in November, which we've talked about on this program. The 48-hour film project, exactly what it sounds like. And another event created right here in New Hampshire, RPM, or the Record Production Month Challenge, which officially begins on February 1st. And producer Taylor Quimby is going to be following one of the musicians who's going to be taking up the challenge. But first, he's here to tell us a little about the challenge itself. Hello, Taylor.
Hello, and I'm just going to test my levels here real quick because I'm also playing engineer right now. Hello.
Oh, Taylor, thank you. Thanks for joining us.
Of course.
So one album, one month. That's it.
That is exactly the idea, that you write, record, and mix an album in the 28 days of February.
And an album equals what? Like how many songs?
So their rules are either 10 songs or 35 minutes. So if you're in like a prog rock band, you could do like one 35-minute song. Or you could get away with doing 10 one-minute super fast pop tracks or something like that. And this event is actually in its 12th year. So back when it started, you had to mail a CD physically into the RPM organization when you were finished.
So nostalgic.
I know. Nowadays, you still can mail the CD, but you can also Dropbox your finished album. And I actually spoke to Dave Karlotsky. He's one of the co-organizers. And he told me a little bit about how this whole thing got started.
When we originally started RPM, it was an offshoot of The Wire, the weekly paper that we put out here on the seacoast, and so it was a natural sort of extension of the kinds of arts advocacy that we were always involved in. It wouldn't be a contest. There'd be no winners. It was just a creative challenge to take the coldest, darkest, most worthless month of the year and use it for something good. And we were really delighted that first year. We had more than 220 bands sign up just from the seacoast area of New Hampshire, and we ended up with 165 new albums that came in, and that really warmed our hearts.
Have you also done it? Are you a musician?
I am not a musician. I always get asked this question, and I always feel vaguely guilty, but I can't change the fact that I'm not a musician.
If he were a musician, I don't know if he would have come up with this.
I know, it does sound a little masochistic.
Well, why do you think people do it?
Well, I think, you know, it's sort of what you mentioned in your intro. It's that this deadline, even though there's a lot of pressure that comes along with the deadline, it's also very freeing. It forces you to try things that you might not have otherwise tried. And it also forces you to say, okay, this is pretty good. I've got to move on. And then the other thing that Dave said that I thought was really interesting was that it's also freeing in the sense that, you know, if you were to say, well, I'm going to make an album, there's this sort of weird implied thing that, like, why are you doing it? Are you doing it to become a successful musician? Are you doing it to make money? Are you doing it because you want to be loved? And all those things can feel like a real impediment to even starting a project. And this is for fun. It's a total excuse to try something and not feel like you're going to fail if it doesn't sell even 10 albums, you know?
You can just do it. It's like a prompt and there's no room for perfection.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so what does it look like? How does one actually sign up for it?
So what it looks like is basically a pretty bare-bones website. I mean, I think this thing probably hasn't changed much since they started it.
12 years ago?
12 years ago, exactly. It reminds me of early MySpace because you sign up, there's a little profile, you can stick a picture up there, there's a place to upload your music. There are some forums and blogs, so people who are doing it can sort of share tips or kind of be cheerleadery for each other because it is sort of a crazy thing. So it's a really cool kind of community.
After everything's turned in, we celebrate by having a listening party, and that's a really important part of it. So we play one song from every completed album from the geographic area, and we get everybody together so everybody can hear everybody else's work.
Well, you say the geographic area, and that's because it's kind of like expanded quite a bit beyond the borders of New Hampshire and New England, huh?
It sure has. Yeah, so the second year that we did it, you know, because it was based on a website, we just opened up the restrictions and said that anybody could participate. And we ended up with tremendous participation from all around the globe. We had more than 2,500 groups sign up from all seven continents. We even had a band from Antarctica.
The peripheral that the filler ruins you cracked up and busted on. 12 show tour. Stares on the house like gasoline shadow.
Have any famous bands ever done it? You know, a sort of American Idol style kind of launch?
No, I don't think you know, there's never been like an Aerosmith or a Kanye West who did it. But there's some really great professional musicians who take it as an opportunity, I think, to just play around. And I did find out that in 2007, Bob Boylan, who, if you're a public radio fan, you will know, used to direct All Things Considered for almost 20 years, I think. He's now host of All Songs Considered and creator of the Tiny Desk concert series. Well, he caught wind of RPM, and he actually did a story on it.
I'm a Deadline kind of guy. When I direct All Things Considered, I pick the music you hear just minutes, sometimes seconds, before we need it. Ask our engineers. So I sent an instant message to Michael, the guitarist, and said, hey, want to make an album? There's this thing on the web. And he said, sure.
Anyway, he came out at the end of the month with his album. And little secret here, in case you ever wanted to know where Tiny Desk Concert came from, it is not just because of the Tiny Desk.
It's behind the
desk. It is named after his old band, Tiny Desk Unit. So this is
a little bit of uncanny self-promotion there, Bob.
Exactly. Nobody would know. So this is from the album that they made for RPM called Sputnik Fell on My Birthday. And this is a track called Blue Jacket.
I'm dancing all alone, playing with the sound inside.
I feel like it's got a little bit of a Eno-esque quality.
I think you're being generous. So as established, when you're doing a full album in a month, you cannot hone anything to perfection. But you've decided you're going to follow one of the New Hampshire musicians throughout RPM 2017. So that's the month of February?
That is the month of February.
So cool. They choose the shortest month.
Yeah. Lots of people have a school vacation where their kids have to take a week off. So maybe
good
that's
time to disappear into the studio.
Exactly. Yeah, I skimmed the registration for this year. I sort of listened to a bunch of the tracks for people who had done it before, reached out to a couple people. And so let me introduce you to the person we're going to be following.
Hi, this is Rob.
Hi, Rob. This is Taylor from New Hampshire Public Radio. How's it going?
Hey, thanks for calling. It's going good.
Awesome. So do you go by RC or Rob?
I do. I go by RC Thomas because of the other Rob Thomas. the vastly more famous one.
Of course.
And it just makes it impossible if you're going to do anything on social media or the internet.
Yeah, so this is RC Thomas, Rob Thomas. He's been doing RPM for a couple years now. He lives just outside of Portsmouth, makes his living as a professional musician. He does like a mix of different types of bands, cover bands, original bands, jam bands. He does weddings, like a lot of musicians these days. He also throws out the occasional YouTube video.
Got a nice soulful voice.
Yeah. I listened to his stuff from last year, and he's got like a bunch of different tracks. They have different sounds. Like there's one has a bit of a Johnny Cash sort of feel to it. He's got a really nice like deep low voice when he wants to.
Gonna find a way tonight. Oh, gonna make it right.
Another track that kind of reminded me of Dave Matthews.
Waiting on a family line.
Or maybe I'm thinking Hootie and the Blowfish.
Allman Brothers or something. And he's come back for another run. That's really encouraging.
Yeah, and he's coming back for another run at a tough time to be attempting RPM.
Yes, it's been an interesting year, only because I had to just recently move my entire recording studio out of my house. Because my wife and I are having a baby in May. So the recording studio room became the nursery. So I lucked out. A good friend of mine had a nice room in his basement. It just needed a little TLC.
So what's your plan? How often are you going to check in with him?
Well, what we're going to do is I'm going to go visit him a couple times throughout the month and sort of just see how things are going. He is going to record some diaries. We'll check back in a couple weeks and see how he's faring, maybe one-third.
And see how often he wants to be keeping a diary for you when he's going to write a whole album.
Yeah, I know. I was like, okay, so you've got to write 10 songs or 35 minutes in 28 days and do all the work that I need you to do for my little radio story.
So. Okay, so he is a masochist.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, producer Taylor Quimby is going to be following Portsmouth musician Rob, or R.C. Thomas, throughout the RPM Challenge this month. And you can find out more about the RPM Challenge, or you can even sign up for yourself. It starts tomorrow, so don't wait. If you've got an idea, this is the time. There's a link at wordofmouthradio.org.
Talking about a giving.